Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
James chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." In other words, the way up is to go down. That contradicts what everybody says, but that's what the Bible says. The way up is to go down. If we want Christ to lift us up, we must humble ourselves in His presence. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I want to look at a verse here. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 6 says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." In other words, He tells us the way up is to go down. The way for Christ to be pleased with us and the way for Christ to lift us up is that we've got to humble ourself in His sight. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that You'd help me to relay the things, God, that You've put on my heart. And God, may we learn from Your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you really differently than I normally do. I don't have any outline tonight. I've got a few things written down. I don't have nothing alliterated out. I just got a thought tonight that I'm going to give you, okay? And it may take 10 minutes. It might take 2 hours, all right? But probably more like 15 or 20 minutes. But I'm going to give you a little thought tonight. In recent days, I've been studying the disciples again that the Lord had that walked alongside of Him for 3.5 years of His life. And it's fun to sit around with people that studies their Bible and ask this question sometimes, who was Jesus's favorite disciple? If He had a favorite disciple, who would it be? Now, the majority of people is going to go to John's, who they're going to go to. That's who He told to take care of His mother. That's who leaned on His will. A lot of people is going to go to John, but I'm different. I don't think it was John. I think it's Peter. And you say, well, why do you think it was Peter? Well, there's several things that I could say about it. Anytime the disciples are listed, he's listed first. Peter's listed first. Whenever you look at the day of Pentecost, who preached and 3,000 got saved? Who did the Lord allow to preach that day? And I know we could, again, we could argue all day about when the start of the early church was and everything, but let's just say that was pretty close to the beginning. I know we can go back to Genesis. It's all in Christ. Let's just talk about the early New Testament church. How about that? Who was preaching? Well, it was Peter. Matter of fact, when Jesus gets up from the grave, y'all remember that, don't you? When He got up from the grave, and He says this, "Go tell My disciples and Peter." And He calls Peter by name. So personally, just me, again, I'm not going to argue with you. You can't take the Bible and prove it any way that it's Peter, that it's John. That's it. You say, well, we'll know when we get to heaven. Praise the Lord, we will. And I'm going to look at everybody and say, I was right. All right? But think about this. I think it's Peter, okay? That's who I think it is. And I love studying the life of Peter. Peter was a go-getter. If you've ever read your Bible much, if you've ever studied your Bible much, Peter was a go-getter. I tell you somebody I think about when I think about Peter. Now, not because he denied the Lord, not because he cussed, and he may have cussed and I didn't hear him. Not because he cussed, but just his zeal to do something. I think about Heath Reese every time I think about Peter. I remember Brother Heath was here at the church with us. If you wanted something done, you could just hint it towards Brother Heath, and it was done. He was going after it, man. He didn't question you on it. He didn't try to think of a better way. He just went and done it. I remember when 2020 hit, a lot of y'all remember that time. We didn't know what was going to happen with the finances. People was getting laid off work. work. We didn't know if all of us was going to die, if all of us was going to live. We didn't know what was going to happen. So we decided there for a while to cut out the mowing here at the church. We still had that old Kubota mower here then. Heath, of course, he was our youth pastor then. He was on staff with us part-time. And I told Brother Heath, I said, man, we're going to have to take up mowing. That ain't no problem, preacher. Ain't no problem at all. We'll mow. And I said, all right, sounds good. I said, well, in the morning, we need to mow. And he had got laid off work. I said, we need to mow in the morning. He said, preacher, I'll mow. Don't worry about it. Man, he didn't make three laps, and the phone started ringing. And I thought, well, he's supposed to be mowing. And I answered the phone. He said, preacher. I said, yeah, buddy. He said, I'm down here in the ditch in front of the church, and I can't get out. I said, ain't no problem. If I pulled him out of that ditch one time during that time, I pulled him out of it five times. But what I'm simply saying is, yeah, man, he wanted to do something. He'd get with it. You could say, I could tell Brother Heath, hey, Brother Heath, I tell you what, as soon as service is over tonight, that wall that separates the church offices and my offices, I really need that tore out tonight. Let me tell you what happened. As soon as I said the last amen, he would be down there in his suit. He wouldn't go home and change clothes. He'd be down there in his suit, and he would have found something. Sledgehammer, wrecking bar, chainsaw. He would have found something, and I'm telling you, for midnight, it would have been tore out. I don't know what else would have been tore out, but it would have been tore. He wanted to do something, man. Whenever you come to Peter and you look at Peter's life, man, Peter had zeal. Peter wanted to do something. But Peter also had another problem. Now, I don't liken this one to, or Peter had a problem. I don't liken this one to Brother Heath. This is nothing like Brother Heath. Peter didn't know when to shut up. Can I just say it that way? I mean, we're adults in here tonight. The kids are down there. Can I just be real with you? He just didn't know when to shut up. Peter suffered from putting his foot in his mouth all the time. Man, it was something all the time in the life of Peter. He was always stirring something. I thought about this. Peter is one of the most relatable disciples in the Scripture. He's bold. He's vocal. He's passionate. But can I say this? Yet he failed the Lord so many times. He really did. He failed the Lord so many times. I thought about this. Peter had a bold loyalty about him before he denies the Lord. Think about this. Peter didn't like passion. He lacked awesomeness of his own weakness and awareness of his own weakness. He didn't lack the passion to do something, but what he did lack was this, what his own weakness was. You see, every one of us has a weakness tonight. And there's one weakness that all of us has, every one of us, whether we want to admit it or not, and it's this little thing called thinking too much of ourselves at times. It's called pride. And Peter had that. Watch this in Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He said, but I have prayed for thee. And he goes on to say this. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said this in John 13. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. He said this in Mark 14. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. You know, Peter had a big vocal loyalty. Peter declares his loyalty again and again. I thought about this. You can be sincere and still be wrong about your spiritual strength. I believe Peter was really sincere. I do. I believe he was sincere in everything that he said, but he wasn't aware of his spiritual weakness. Matter of fact, you remember Jesus tells him, you can't go with me to Calvary. He says, oh, I'll go with you. You see, Jesus, I've often thought, if Peter would have just listened to Jesus, he may not have denied him three times. He may not have found himself in the place that he was, but Peter says, oh no, I'll go all the way with you. You see, Peter's mouth is getting ahead of his mind. It's also getting ahead of his spirituality. I thought about this. Again, at the beginning of his failure, we know he's going to deny the Lord, but just stay with me just a minute. At the beginning of that failure, it starts with some simple things. You remember Matthew chapter number 26? Jesus asked Peter, James, and John something simple. He said, why don't you stay awake and pray with me? It's just something simple, but Peter couldn't stay loyal in the small moments of his life. See, there wasn't nobody else standing around to watch Peter at that moment. It was just him and the Lord and James and John. And what did Peter do? Well, he went to sleep. Big failures often begin with small neglects. You know what he was neglecting at that moment? I'm headed somewhere. Why don't you stay with me? You know what he was neglecting at that moment in his life? He was neglecting his time with the Lord. He was neglecting prayer in his life. It was Ian Bounds, if I'm not mistaken, that said this: all of life's failures are prayer failures. All of life's failures are prayer failures. What about that time in John chapter number 18 when he acted in the flesh? You remember that story, don't you? He cut off the ear that night of the soldier. Cut his ear off. I don't think he was going for his ear. I think he was going for his throat. I think he tried to cut his head off, and he didn't succeed at that, thank goodness. I mean, Jesus would have had to put a head back on instead of an ear. And he could have. Somebody say amen right there. But think about this. When they come to arrest him that night, Jesus has already told them this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You know what Jesus, or what Peter does? Here's what Peter does. It looks like it's loyalty, but the problem was this: it wasn't submission. Jesus has said they're going to do this. You know what? Old Peter, being the loud, boisterous person he is, he's not submissive to Christ, and his outward move seemed like it was loyalty when in all honesty, it was not in submission to Christ. Matter of fact, I was talking to this great theologian last night about this area. His name's Jonathan Bass, and here's what he said. It was ego in disguise. I put it in my notes. It was ego in disguise. He was working in the flesh instead of being filled with the Spirit. We can be busy for God. We can be loud for God. We can even be angry on the behalf of God. But if we aren't acting in submission to His specific leading, we're just making a mess that He has to clean up like He had to heal Malchus's ear. Selah, I should have put that at the end of that statement. Just think about that for a minute. Just let that set in. For a minute. Oh, we can be loud. We can act like we're really doing something for God. But if it is not in submission to His will, all we're doing is making a big mess. How many times have you let your mouth get in high gear and your mind in neutral? You with me? And at the end of it, how many times have you sent that text and thought, yeah, boy, I told them. And then an hour later go, boy, I wish I'd have never said it that way. Can I just say this? You can say the right thing the wrong way. You can do the right thing the wrong way. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? And you know what Peter had a problem with? He had a problem with doing the right things the wrong ways. Why? Because he was worried about self and not the Spirit. Not everything that looks like zeal is always obedience to the Savior. Just because it looks like zeal don't mean it's obedience to the Savior. What about this? It started with a drift before the denial. Matthew chapter number 26. I told you I don't have no points wrote down. I'm just going to walk you through something. I'm going to give you a little thought right here and we're going to go home. Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says this: but Peter followed him afar off. This is the turning point in his life. He didn't walk away. He just backed up. Spiritual decline doesn't start with denial. It starts with distance. Spiritual decline doesn't start with denial. It starts with distance. It starts with something like this. Now, it's Wednesday night. You're in church, so it's okay to say amen. It starts with something like this. We miss a Wednesday night service. Then we miss a Sunday school. And then it's another Wednesday night. And then it's a Sunday school. And then it's another Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden, somebody's made plans on Sunday afternoon. Where in one time we would say, I'm sorry, I already have plans. Can I just tell you something? I have plans every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I already do. You say, well, how long is those plans going to be? Until I die. Or Jesus Christ. I've got plans. Well, it's my I've got plans. I've got plans. Can I just say this? We have church at 5 o'clock. Now, everybody's here. You're hollering, amen. We have church at 5 o'clock. Normal people eat supper at 5 o'clock like my wife and I. Most people don't eat supper till 7 or 7:30. Most people don't have get-togethers till 7 or 7:30. We have church at 5 o'clock 99.999% of the time. We're out at 6 o'clock or not much after. Let me tell you where distance starts and decline starts. The decline from the Savior starts with just a little bit of distance. Well, nobody will ever know. No, what's happening? Here's what's happening. There's a decline that's starting in Peter's life. There's a decline. This is the guy that just a while ago said, Lord, I'll go with you to death. I'm dying with you, Lord. And now what's he doing? He's backed up a little bit. This is the guy that, you know, you hear those people that's always da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They're usually the one that's actually a distance from Christ because they're always caught up in them. They're always caught up in that distance from Christ. Here's what it led to. It led to the ultimate denial of Peter. He ended up saying that he wasn't associated with Jesus. He ended up saying and denying being a disciple. And before it was all said and done, he ended up denying that he even knew Christ and ended up cursing. The guy that went from I'll die with you to I don't even know who you are. The guy that once said, Lord, it don't matter where you go, I'm going with you. And now all of a sudden he's going, I don't even know you, Lord. I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. You remember I said this in John 13. Jesus said this to Peter, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now. See, Jesus knew what would happen to Peter if he did. Well, what does Peter do? Here's what Peter does. Peter ends up denying the Lord Jesus Christ. The very man that said, I'll go with you to the end, ends up denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've talked to you all night to get to this point right here. Here's what happens. In Luke chapter number 22, verse number 62, the Bible says that Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. You know what happened? It dawned on Peter what he had done. I personally believe that this is the beginning to the turning of Peter. I know that Peter's got saved, and if we want to look at it that way, and we're not going to go into dispensations and before Calvary and after God, can I just say, I believe Peter's already saved. Peter's already serving the Lord. Peter's already in the midst of everything. He's already a disciple of the Lord. He's not like Judas is. Peter's already doing a work from God, but Peter was working in the power of his own flesh every time. Every time you look back at it, Peter is working in the power of his own flesh. And let me tell you what happened. In the power of his flesh, his mouth got him in trouble in a big way. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. Can I just say it this way? Peter got humbled that day. Peter got humbled that day. The problem with so many today is they're not humble anymore. I was talking to Jeremiah today, and a lot of times when I study stuff, I'll call different preachers and bounce ideas off of them. And me and Jeremiah was talking today about this, and he said this. He said the reason that we don't have revival in America today is because everybody's worried about everybody else, and nobody humbles themselves. He said, humbleness is something that is forgotten in America today. He said, we began to talk about how we're living in such a prideful generation. Matter of fact, most of the time, whenever, stay with me, most of the time when you hear somebody testify, 99% of it has personal pronouns in it. Can I just say that again? 99% of their testimony has personal pronouns in it. Is it about you or is it about the Savior? Is it about your past or is it about the Savior? Is it about what you're going through or is it about the Savior? Are you hearing me tonight? You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. The Bible simply tells us tonight that if Christ is going to make much out of us, then we must become nothing. We must humble ourselves. And let me tell you what happened to Peter at that moment. Here's what happened to Peter at that moment. Peter humbled himself in the sight of God. He went out and wept bitterly. Now, after he goes out and weeps bitterly, we know that Jesus is crucified. We know that Jesus dies. We know that Jesus is buried. We know that Jesus rises again the third day. Somebody say amen. If you ain't said amen nowhere else, you can say amen on that tonight. Jesus rises the third day. Jesus tells them, go tell my disciples and Peter. So why did he say and Peter? Here's the reason I think he said and Peter. Because the last conversation they had, Peter had denied that he even knew who he was. And guess what happens? Jesus ends up dying. And no doubt in the back of Peter's mind, he's wondering, man, does Jesus even remember who I am? Is Jesus angry at me? What has Jesus got to say about me? And he tells them, go tell the disciples and Peter. He wanted Peter to know, I know who you are. I've not forgot about you. I've not set you on the back shelf. I know who you are. I know your repentance. I know your humbleness, and I'm coming for you. He said, let Peter know too. Even though Peter had failed, Jesus still cared. Even though Peter had dropped the ball, Jesus still cared. Even though Peter had lived 3.5 years of a selfish life, Jesus wanted Peter to know, I still know who you are. And I got some plans for you, Peter. Well, 50 days goes by. You study the timeline. Around 50 days is the ascension. 40 days later and around 10 days after that, it's this great, great event, one of the greatest events besides Calvary in our Bible today. And it's called the Day of Pentecost. It's the day because Jesus has said this, I'm going away, but if I go away, I will send a comforter unto you. And Jesus goes on to tell us in John that that comforter is the Holy Ghost. And guess what? 10 days after the ascension, Jesus needs somebody to stand up and preach. And you know who he ends up using? 50 days after his greatest downfall, guess who Jesus decides to use that day? Old Peter, that 50 days ago had cursed and denied that he even knew who Jesus was. 50 days later, guess what he does? He stands up and preaches, and 3,000 get saved, and the Holy Ghost comes down. One of the most powerful parts of our Bible, besides the crucifixion and the resurrection, was the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And guess who Jesus used to usher the Holy Ghost? Peter. He used Peter. Now I want you to see something. Peter, from this moment forward, and his life is amazing. He boldly preaches despite persecution in Acts 4. There's the healing of the lame man in Acts 3. He's used to open the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts 10. He just didn't rescue Peter. He used him greatly. Now, if you'll study, and you may come back with something different than this, and if you do, I want to see it, okay? Because I've studied this quite a bit. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to Gullion's tomorrow. I'm trying to find a book by M.R. Dehaan on Peter that deals with some of this. But from everything that I can read and everything that I can study, from the time he wept bitterly, then the ascension or the descension of the Holy Spirit forward, there's really nothing bad that Peter does. He don't get in trouble with his mouth again. All he's doing is preaching. Lives are being changed. Souls are being saved. Let me tell you what the difference was. Here was the difference. He humbled himself, and Christ made him somebody. But there's another difference. Come start playing. I told y'all I just got thought tonight. But here's another difference. Everything prior to the day of Pentecost, Peter done in the work of the flesh. But at the day of Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that day forward, I hope you'll get a hold of what I'm fixing to say. From that day forward, everything that he done was in the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you do works in your flesh, you're going to get in trouble. But if you'll die to you and rise new in Him and allow the Holy Spirit to do it through you, that's when you'll rise to a plateau you never thought that you'd ever make it to. How did it come in Peter's life? Come by humbling himself. Peter had to get humbled, man. Peter had to get humbled. Some people today, it just blows my mind, Brother Jonathan. Just blows my mind. They think that they live up here. They've never sinned. They've never messed up. They're Peter. I think, Brian, some of them's probably saved, but they're Peter. If you just humble yourself and quit working in the flesh and start letting the Spirit work through you, you might just be shocked with what God could do with you. What did he say? He said this, walk in the Spirit, and you'll what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me tell you the reason your mouth gets you in trouble sometimes. Let me tell you the reason my mouth gets me in trouble sometimes. Because I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because I'm not walking in the Spirit. Preacher, I just can't figure this out. I can. Simple. You're not walking in the Spirit. I got a phone call yesterday, and a guy started talking to me, and had a great conversation. He tried his best to change my mind on some things, and I just told him, I said, you're not going to change my mind on this. And he said, well, can I ask you, why? And he said, I'm not trying to get you to do so. He said, I just want to know. I said, because I've got to walk in the Spirit. And if I don't, I'm going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh is to open my mouth and say some things right now. That's really what I want to do. So I told the individual, and it wasn't towards him. It was a situation that we was working together on. And no, it wasn't nobody in the church. I've told y'all before, I got a life outside of the church. Every time I give an illustration, everybody starts thinking about, well, I wonder who that was. Wonder who the big mouth in the church is. And when people wonder that, I sure hope your name don't go through their mind. Let me just keep moving right there. Let that sink in just a second. Amen. Just let that sink in just a second. Right, I said, if I do what I want to do in the flesh, I'm going to say some things I don't need to say. And I said, so I have to walk in the Spirit and do what the Lord's told me to do. And here's what he said. He said, Jonathan, I respect you for that. Thank you for being honest. I'm not saying that I do that every time because I don't. Somebody say amen. You don't either. But, Brother Lloyd, I sure want to. And if I walk in the Spirit, he humbled himself and began walking in the Spirit. And God done amazing things with his life. If we just humble ourselves, say, God, help me. Lord, you know what that thing is in your life that so easily besets you is. Talking is not a sin. Talking too much is. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. If we'd lay it to the side and just humbly admit before God, I have a problem with this. I need help with this. God may just use you way beyond your expectations of what you ever thought he would have done. I bet if you could have sat around the 49th night, said, who's going to preach tomorrow? They'd have said anybody but Peter. It wasn't going to be John. I don't think it was going to be John. You say, why? John was just doing what Jesus told him to do. What Jesus told him to do, take care of my mama. And can I just say this? For John, that was the greatest thing he could do, because it was exactly what God said do. Even though what God tells you to do may not look like a big task to others, it's the greatest thing you can do if it's what God told you to do. They'd have said anybody but Peter. But Jesus said, man, I know his heart. He's humbled himself. I'm going to use him.